You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the Adventures of Superman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this very special episode of Monster Attack. And guess what? Superman is in the house. That's right, we're talking about the original television series, The Adventures of Superman, starring George Reeves as the Man of Steel. For many of us growing up in the 60s, this was the definitive comic book show for many, many years. I mean, you know, when I think back now on what we've experienced the last 20 to 30 years with superhero shows and that sort of thing, boy, have we come a long way since the early 60s. But for many of us, watching the TV set from 5 to 5:30 every weekday to see the next episode of The Adventures of Superman, that's what it was all about. The show syndicated in the early 60s, and I believe it was ABC TV that had set up a 5 o'clock to 5:30 broadcast time for its affiliates. And for many of us, that is the show that we were watching. We made sure we were free at 5 o'clock to see The Adventures of Superman. It was that important of a show. I mean, you know, we're growing up with televisions that only had 3 channels. I know we've talked about that quite a bit, but this was like the first comic book show ever. Now, I got very interested in Superman in the very early 60s. In fact, right around the time that I got to see this on TV. And I'm trying to remember if it was the TV series that led me into the comic books or if it was the comic books that led me to the TV series, because the two happened so quickly and so close together. In all honesty, folks, after all these years, I can't remember which one came first. But Superman was the first superhero that I absolutely followed closely, followed then later on in the 60s by Batman and then some of the others. And then, of course, I got into all the Marvel stuff when Stan Lee and Jack Kirby relaunched Marvel Comics as well. I was a big Spider-Man guy at first, and then Captain America and all of the Fantastic Four and all of those. Superman was the first one, though, and always will hold a very special place in my heart. And I got to tell you, folks, for many years, even going into my college years, this was the definitive superhero anything. I mean, whether movie or whatever. So we're going to take a very special look at this incredible show. Now, some of you probably have caught this. I mean, you know, over the years, Nick at Night used to run a lot of the Adventures of Superman episodes. Currently, if you are a subscriber to a cable grid that has Heroes and Icons Network on it, they're running The Adventures of Superman mainly on the weekends. You can catch about 4 or 5 episodes. In fact, I just finished binging the whole series. That gave me the idea of, you know, Mark and I had talked about the Chris Reeves film, the very first Superman film that he made. And I thought, yeah, but I haven't talked about the TV series and how important that was for me. The very first celebrity that I ever met in my entire life, I mean, a big-time celebrity was Noelle Neal, who played Lois Lane. And if people say, well, was she the first one? Yeah, she was the first one, even though Phyllis Coates portrayed Lois Lane in the first season of The Adventures of Superman. Noelle Neal played the role in the two sequels that Columbia produced, with Kirk Allen playing Clark Kent and Superman. I tell you, I was speechless when I met her. I got to actually, you know, meet her face to face. She was doing a college tour, opened herself up for autographs and to talk to folks. And I was so tongue-tied. It was just really hard to carry on a conversation with her. And I thought, I can never let that happen again. If I meet someone who I just absolutely loved growing up, you know, watching them on TV or in the movies. But yeah, she was the very first definitive celebrity that I ever met in my life. So that also holds, you know, a special significance for me. This show, I'm going to go off tangent a little bit, and then we're going to talk about some of the highs and the lows of The Adventures of Superman and some of the fantastic memories I have of it. This show had such an impact on me. You know, I've talked so much on Monster Attack about how the monster movies really sort of dictated who I ended up becoming. You know, my interest in films of all genres and my interest in acting, even wanting to do directing and some writing and that sort of thing. This show also affected me in quite an incredible way, and it didn't really make itself known until I was working as a newspaper reporter. Yeah, I took some time off from radio. I was getting a little burned out on that. I'd been in radio for a long time, and I was offered a job with a fairly large newspaper down here in Georgia. And I thought, you know, that'd be fun. I mean, I've been a journalist on radio. You know, I did news and things like that. So it'd be interesting to try it on the newspaper side. I had not done much writing when it came to newspaper work. The only writing I had done was radio copy, and news copy for radio news was a whole lot different than what the newspaper was. The newspaper's going to be a lot more detailed. And I had written a couple of scripts, one that had actually been performed. So I was intrigued with it, and I found myself in that first year working for the Cherokee Ledger News that I had been influenced by something that made me the kind of newspaper reporter I was. I was an investigative reporter. I also reported politics and crime. You know, we wore many hats at this newspaper, and I realized in my dealings with the police, I dealt with the police and the sheriff's department quite a bit. As a reporter, and also with a lot of politicians, I realized that I had been influenced in the way I approached that job by The Adventures of Superman. My vision of what a newspaper reporter was watching Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Perry White, you know, and how they interacted with police and that sort of thing. And that was the same approach I took with my actual newspaper job. And it helped. It helped out quite a bit. I developed quite a good reputation with law enforcement and with politicians. I was known as a very fair reporter, you know, and I did it just like I saw them do it on The Adventures of Superman. It wasn't about them. It was about the story and getting it right and making sure people were informed of important things. And I got all of that from watching The Adventures of Superman, so I owe them a great deal on that. I mean, you know, this—it's crazy. It sounds crazy, but this film, this television show, had such an impact on all of us growing up. My mom, and I've talked about my mom quite a bit on this episode. She passed away a couple of years ago. She was one of the most creative people I knew. And she could make costumes like there was no tomorrow. And she was like a big kid at heart. She got me into, you know, she really was one of the things. She was the influences on me as far as Halloween. And I saw old pictures of her as a kid growing up in some of the incredible costumes that she would come up with. And she was very good at it. I always thought she should have gotten into the theater and become a costumer, because I think she'd have been extremely good at it. And I think inside of my mom was sort of an actor that wanted to be let out. I wish she had followed that a little bit more, even especially when I got into it so heavy at such an early age. So she sort of lived it through me. But she made me a costume. It was probably my all-time favorite Halloween costume. I don't know whatever happened to it, but it was perfect. I mean, she measured me out and all that stuff and made it just right. And it was a Superman suit. And it was she watched the show religiously with us, and she made it exactly from the TV show. And also, at this point in my life, I was in about third or fourth grade. I think it was fourth grade when I did the Superman thing. It might have been third, but somewhere around that age range, about 9 or 10 years old. I was collecting a lot of Superman comics at this point. So, and she was using that as a gauge, and she was able to make just an incredible looking Superman suit. I loved that thing. I mean, I hated that I could only wear it at Halloween. In fact, I did wear it a few other times when we'd get, we'd all get together as kids in the neighborhood, and we would act out the adventures of Superman. And I got to play Superman, because I was wearing glasses at this time, so I could take the glasses off, and not be Clark Kent and, switch into the costume. And, yeah, we had a ball. My sister, my younger sister, was always the criminal. She liked being the bad guy. Yeah, so I won't say much more on that. But I've got some great memories of this television show and its impact on me. Now, for some of you that are much younger than me, that this show might not have had the impact on you that it had on me, because other shows did come out eventually. Of course, most notably, the big Batman show that came out in 1966. But I got to tell you, folks, if you haven't had a chance to binge a little bit on the original Adventures of Superman show, the early episodes are distinctly different than the latter episodes. Now, there were 104 total episodes shot over a period of 6 seasons. The way that the producers did it was that they shot the first 2 seasons had 26 episodes to them. But then they cut the budget back because they decided to shoot in color. So those first 52 episodes were shot in black and white. Then the next 52 episodes were shot in color. But those 52 episodes were stretched over 4 seasons. So there were only 13 original episodes in each one of those seasons. And what the networks would do would be to broadcast 13 original episodes, and then they would mix in 13 of the black and white episodes, as a repeat episode, and that would extend out their 26-week run. So 104 altogether, half in black and white, half in color. Now, one thing that this TV show really had an influence on me was that it helped me develop a real love for film noir. And you've heard me talk many times about one of my all-time favorite genres is film noir. I mean, I loved it when monster movies used that approach, or crime dramas or whatever. I love the look, the feel, everything about it. And the film noir was definitely the approach that producers took in The Adventures of Superman in the first 2 seasons. And for many of us, those seasons were the most powerful episodes that there were. In fact, if you would take it into the second season up to the show Panic in the Sky, which was about a big asteroid threatening to hit Earth and possibly destroy everybody on the planet, and Superman having to save them, and he goes up and he hits the asteroid straight on and knocks it off its course a little bit, but in the process he also injures himself and loses his memory, so that he doesn't know who he is. And then eventually he does succeed in destroying the asteroid and saving everybody on the planet. For many of us, we thought that was sort of the high water mark for The Adventures of Superman. After that, the stories got a little more whimsical and stuff. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment, because the series took a definite turn towards more kid-friendly. I tell you what, these early episodes in black and white, especially in season number one, very gritty, violent. You had villains that died a lot in these first episodes, which was something sort of unheard of for a kid's show. And in fact, one thing that it led to was a lot of parents complaining that the show was giving their children some nightmares, that it was affecting them. It was too violent. It was too scary. And some of these episodes were very scary. They were really well done. And so the producers had to take stock of what they were doing and soften it up a little bit. Now, when you get into season number 6, you know, in all honesty, I still love the show, folks. I still love the show, but the stories did get a little campy and goofy near the end. They were definitely targeting a much younger audience. Now, as kids, well, you know, when I first saw the run of Superman, I ate it up. I absolutely ate it up. I loved it. You know, as I got older, it was like, yeah, boy, these were sort of, you know, a little goofy here near the end. But they were still a lot of fun. And still, this was the only superhero stuff that we had. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about these early season episodes. And let's talk about our cast of characters. Of course, I'm going to save the best for last. And that's George Reeves, because there's a lot to talk about with George. Our main cast of characters, of course, is Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Perry White. Now, this year, the first season, Phyllis Coates played Lois Lane. Phyllis Coates had made quite a name for herself in films, and mainly B films. A lot of us monster people remember her from I Was a Teenage Frankenstein. She would do that after she did the Superman series. But Phyllis took a very hard edge approach to Lois Lane. Very similar to some of the latter renditions of Lois Lane, where she was hard as nails, just out to succeed, out to get to the truth. You know, she was a woman in a man's world, so she overachieved to try to balance out the playing field a little bit, and she brought a real hard edge to the Superman TV show. There was a little bit of a suggestion that she might have a thing for Superman, but we would see it more with the Noelle Neal Lois Lanes than we would with the Phyllis Coates ones. But there was definitely, you know, there was definitely a competitive streak between Lois and Clark Kent. Clark Kent had just sort of popped onto the scene in the pilot episode of Superman on Earth, where he just basically showed up at the Daily Planet and was able to get an exclusive story on the very first person that Superman saved and writing about Superman himself. And nobody could figure out, especially like Lois Lane, who was this experienced top grade reporter, how did this rookie beat me out for the story as that first episode ends? So that continued throughout the first season. And again, these were very gritty stories, and they were dark and sort of spooky. But Phyllis Coates made a commitment, or she had another commitment. At the time, they didn't know how long the Adventures of Superman were going to go. Even George Reeves thought it was probably going to be done within a season. You know, he enjoyed doing it, in spite of some of the things that you've heard or may have read about. Yes, there may have been one or two times where he griped a little bit about being in Superman, but for the most part, and Jack Larson is our source on this for most of it, and Noelle Neal, because Noelle spoke quite a bit about it during her tour that I saw when I was in college, George Reeves, you know, enjoyed working with them, and he championed after them a little bit, especially when Noelle Neal took over for Phyllis Coates. You know, she felt like she was being a little bit emotionally abused by the directors of the show, who wanted Phyllis Coates back, and George Reeves stood up for her. And also at that same time, Robert Shane, who played Inspector Henderson in a regular role, he's one of our other regulars as well. And, of course, we know Robert Shane from a lot of monster movies, The Neanderthal Man, The Giant Claw, The Indestructible Man, you know, others. He was a staple in movies and television for many, many years. He was under investigation by the House Armed Affairs Committee. Un-American Committee, I should say. The whole witch hunt, the whole communist witch hunt thing, and he was considered too radical, or whatever. And Reeves came to his defense and said, "No, you're crazy. This is not right," and helped secure him, because the Superman folks were going to drop him. They were going to get rid of him. and Reeves saved his position. So we've got. I'm going to speak about Jack Larson first here, as playing Jimmy Olsen. Jack had made it. He was a very young actor. He had bounced between L.A. and New York. He did a lot of stage shows, but was just getting started. Good-looking young kid. Of course, later on, Jack would come out of the closet and admit that, he was gay. And, of course, he had a regular partner through most of his adult life. But, again, these were the days where you kept that very, very quiet, so no one had any idea of that side of his life. And it was a shame that he had to hide that like so many other actors had to back then. But he ended up becoming a very accomplished poet and playwright, published many of his plays. This was after Superman. And he was at one time offered his own Superman series. Now, following the death of George Reeves, I call him by his character name. I know more about that than is Jack Larson. I would have liked to have met Jack Larson. He would have been a cool guy to talk to. I imagine he'd be really interesting. He's got some great stories. But he was offered by the network and the producers. They came up with an idea. They said, even though George Reeves had suddenly died, and again, we can argue all day long about whether it was suicide or murder or not. It's still up in the air and will probably go down as one of the greatest mysteries in Hollywood. You can look at the movie Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck. They sort of touch on a couple of the theories that came out during that time. The cast themselves said that they could not believe that George Reeves would commit suicide. It just did not fit with the way he was, and that the stories that he was upset that his career was going nowhere and he was typecast as Superman and stuff. It just didn't seem apparent at all. In fact, he was already, when they were ready to make the new season, they had signed for a season 7. George Reeves, who had directed 3 episodes in season 6, including the very last episode that was slated to direct more, and he was really into that. He really loved directing the show. So Larson, in a documentary that I saw, said he was really surprised when he learned that George Reeves was dead, that he had supposedly killed himself. He was under the impression that he was very excited about getting ready to start season 7. He was going to be the oldest person ever to play Superman at that time. He would be 45 years old going into season 7. So Larson thought quite a bit. He called George Reeves the gentleman's friend. He just said, he thought that he was asked the question, what do you think George Reeves would have wanted on his gravestone? And he said just that he was the people's friend. He was a nice guy. He championed after his friends. He was just a good guy to be around. And I remember his kids when we found out. Now, we found out many years later because, the show was running in syndication, so we all thought that, the guy playing Superman and Clark Kent was still around. And then, when I remember one of the kids in the neighborhood said, no, he's dead. He died. And the rumor went around that he had jumped out a window because he thought he was Superman and fell to his death. And, of course, all these crazy stories that kids get into. And then we found out later that was not the case, that he was killed by gunfire. But it caught us by surprise as well. Well, anyway, I'm taking a roundabout way to tell you about Jack Larson's involvement after Superman, and that was he was offered a Jimmy Olsen show. And what they were going to do was they were going to use some stock footage of George Reeves as Superman and blend them into the storylines and then use a stunt double that they would shoot just from behind, and the stories would center around Jimmy Olsen exclusively. And they were going to try to sign Noel Neal to come back and reprise Lois Lane. Now, at this point, John Hamilton had already passed away as well. John Hamilton, who played Perry White, had passed away the previous year, a year before George Reeves passed away. And they had signed Pierre Watkin, who played Perry White in the Kirk Allen series, the serials, the two serials that they had, the Superman serials that came out after the Batman serials, as Perry White reprised that role. And they had approached Kirk Allen after George Reeves died, about possibly reprising his role as Superman. This would be the second time that the TV producers would go after Kirk Allen to play Superman, because one time George Reeves did say that he was not, after the third season, he said he just wasn't going to come back. He was sort of burned. And that's where a lot of these stories about how he hated the typecasting and stuff came from, because he eventually did come back. Kirk Allen turned down the studio execs both times, and then they sort of made amends with, you know, George Reeves made amends with them, and they worked through their differences, and then he continued on for the remaining three seasons after that, and seemed, you know, pretty happy with the way things were going. Noel Neal was, of course, as many of us know, she was the first Lois Lane in the Kirk Allen series. She took a totally different approach to Lois Lane than Phyllis Coates. She was a little more kid-friendly. And for the producers, when Phyllis Coates, you know, had said, I can't come back for season two, I'm already committed. She was committed to another television series that unfortunately did not last very long. They went for Noel Neal since you know, she already had a proven track record as Lois Lane, but she was a kinder, softer Lois Lane, and also very clearly in love with Superman. I mean, you know, they made that very obvious in the show, and that kept the parents happy because it was a little, it was more kid friendly, it was more family friendly than their hard edged, gritty stories that they had been dealing with in the first two seasons. Now, of course, Noel Neal did play in the second season when it was a little grittier, but you'll notice from season one to season two how the show's lightened up. And you'll notice if you were watching the show in black and white, like most of us did growing up, because a lot of us didn't have color TVs until much later, the second season lightened up considerably. The third season, very much so, because that's when they started shooting in color. And you could see the difference. You could a great difference. I didn't get to see the show in color until I was in college. In fact, it was during the Noel Neal tour when she was doing the college tour, and she would bring with her several episodes of the show, all of the color episodes. And they would show them, like, you know, in the student union where we would watch the movies on the weekends. So it just blew me away to see those shows in color for the very first time. But Noel Neal, you know, played it softer, and was you know, someone we as kids all fell in love with her. We thought she was just great. Now we didn't know that she had dyed her hair red in the last season of the show. I'm not sure why it was that. Nobody asked her that during the question and answer period. We should have asked her that, why she dyed her hair red. But it was just, I think it was something that was, it was a decision made by the network, you know. And it must have been somebody who hadn't read Superman comics, because, you know, we all knew that Lois Lane doesn't have red hair. Lana Lang has red hair. Lois Lane had dark hair. But what the heck? You know, that's TV, folks. So that takes care of our Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen. Of course, Robert Chain as Inspector Henderson. I said, you know, he was a veteran of many B pictures and Westerns, monster movies, and all sorts of things. So he was a familiar face to all of us, and he was our definitive cop growing up. And then some of the characters you're going to see in The Adventures of Superman were some of those, they're great villains. I mean, they had some great villains. They had Ben Weldon, Herb Vigran, which Noel Neal thought of the world of Herb Vigran, and another character actor, Billy Nelson, who apparently, who a lot of times showed up together, and, you know, one is the mob boss and one is the assistant, and they probably played more crooks on the show than anybody else. Herb played six episodes, Billy Nelson in five. We got to mention also Richard Reeves, who you would see a lot during the 60s. He appeared in five episodes of Superman. He was like a big boxer type guy, and I think he was an actual boxer in real life, as was George Reeves. George Reeves was quite an accomplished athlete as well, which helped him to get the role of Superman. Richard Reeves always played, he played more of a little bit of a comic type villain, and the villains in the latter years would become more comic. You would have people like Sid Tomac, who appeared in a couple of episodes. Tristram Coffin, who was good friends with George Reeves. He had a little like a little Earl Flynn like mustache. You would recognize him from a lot of B movies during this time period. I mean, just some great folks that would show up on the show. And in fact, one of my favorites, who was only in four episodes, but John Eldridge, he was like the gentleman crook or whatever. You know, he came off sort of posh, sort of polished, you know, like that. And you know, he was very narcissistic, that sort of thing. And he was one of our favorites because, you know, you always figured if he was going to figure it out, who Superman was or how to kill Superman, this would be the guy that would do it. Although he wasn't, because there was another crook who did figure that out, figured out the secret to kryptonite, and was one of my favorite episodes. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention this one particular character that showed up on The Adventures of Superman, and played by Phil Teed, and that is the guy who played. He's the guy who played Professor Pepperwinkle. Appeared on six episodes, more in the latter stages of the show. Although he did appear in season two, but not as Professor Pepperwinkle. He played a sort of a crazy collector, an antique collector who was selling these little jackknives that were supposedly had been bent by Superman or whatever, and it turned out to be something else going on. But then they brought him back to play Pepperwinkle. A lot of these guys that I just mentioned would play different characters. This was a running thing with Superman. You would see the same guy playing two or three different characters over the seasons. And, you know, back then they didn't care about that. You know, we as kids, we had fun with it. But Professor Pepperwinkle would invent some of the craziest things in the world. And, you know, unfortunately, they all worked, but they never worked well. He was sort of a takeoff at a character that showed up in the first couple of seasons of Superman, played by Sterling Holloway. You remember Sterling Holloway, the voice of Winnie the Pooh? You know, he had that high voice. You know, he was in a lot of Walt Disney productions. We as kids saw him a lot on television. He was an inventor as well in the two episodes he starred in. He made a machine that could plan the perfect crime, you know, stay one step ahead of the cops. And then he showed up again, having invented a time machine that took them back to the caveman days, you know, that sort of thing. And then he wasn't on the show anymore. And all of a sudden, Phil Teed comes in as Professor Pepperwinkle. And he sort of picked up the ball and ran with it, although the inventions became more outlandish, culminating with one of the final episodes of The Adventures of Superman. I think it was the final episode where he supposedly invented these anti-kryptonite pills or whatever. There was two types of kryptonite, positive and kryptonite negative. And if a human being would take the kryptonite positive pill, they would get all of the powers of Superman. And so Jimmy and Lois took them, and they could fly, and bullets bounced off of them, and they could knock down doors. And it was all a dream. You know, it was all a dream. The main invention in that episode was that Professor Pepperwinkle had invented a way to make gold from lead. But there was always a catch with all of his inventions. And of course, when the crooks tried to take advantage of them, they'd always get it in the end. So, you know, crazy, crazy episode. And that was a show that was directed by George Reeves, one of the last ones that did appear before George died, and they had to cancel the series. So one of the, you know, I mentioned some of the high watermarks of the show. I think in the black and white era, you know, we did mention Panic in the Sky, an incredible episode where Superman tries to take this asteroid on one-on-one, and he loses his memory. He gets seriously injured. So as Clark Kent, he does show up at his apartment, almost reveals himself to Jimmy, who was there waiting for him. And everyone was worried about him because he hadn't showed up in a couple of days. And of course, you know, it always, you know, later on as I got older, I kept wondering, how did they not realize that he was not Superman? You know, and we asked Lois Lane that. We asked Noel Neal that. We said, how did you guys not know that? Because it was so obvious. And she said, well, you know, we just ignored that because, you know, we just considered Superman not Clark Kent, and it just worked that way. But yeah, it was so apparent that it was him. Yeah. But that was, you know, that was the fun part of the show. Would somebody finally figure it out? And in season one, one of my favorite episodes, there's a lot of favorites in that episode, in that season. This is when one of the Phyllis Coates episodes, she does not appear in it. In fact, neither Jimmy, or Lois or Perry White show up in it. But it's where his costume is stolen. Superman, or I should say Clark, has to go to a doctor's appointment for a physical for group insurance, group health insurance or whatever. So he can't wear his Superman suit. He has it locked in his secret closet, but there's a cat burglar who breaks into his apartment and accidentally stumbles on the closet, grabs the suit and takes off. And now you've got Clark. Now he's panic-stricken trying to figure out where his suit has gone. And he has a private detective friend that is helping him, but he can't tell him what he's looking for. And that's it. That's sort of the great storyline there, where the guy says, look, can't you tell me what was stolen? He says, no, I just, you know. And he's actually able to track down the cat burglar who had been shot by the cops and his body had been found. And eventually Clark Kent is contacted by the crooks. And this is one where the crooks die. Superman puts him up on top of a mountain with a cabin up there where no one can get to him. He says he'll make sure they have plenty of wood to stay warm and food and all of that until he can figure out what to do with them, because now they know who he is. And of course, he leaves them saying that he would be back soon with food and all that. And the crook, Dan Seymour, who is another great actor who played several bad guys in The Adventures of Superman as well. I should have mentioned him with the other guys. He says, hey, you know, he's not going to come back for us. So, you know, we can climb down this mountain. And of course, his girlfriend is trying to climb down in high heels, which doesn't work very well. And she falls and he tries to catch her and falls with him, and they fall to their death. Great episode. It's still one of my favorite episodes. Another one called Crime Wave from the first season, that as noir as it gets, trying to wage this war on the crime that's out of hand in Metropolis. And everyone, at least Superman and others, convinced that there's a number one crime boss. You know, and Superman is waging a personal war on all these crooks, and he's putting the top 10 in jail, but they don't know who the top guy is. And, of course, the cop guy has come up with a plan that he thinks he can kill Superman. And sets a trap for him, and we have another inventor, and again, another guy who's probably recognizable from a lot of monster movies and all that. He never does have a name in this episode, but has invented this gizmo that shoots these lightning bolts. You got Superman in the room, and of course, it doesn't work, but Superman plays like it does kill him, so he can grab and capture public enemy number one, who turns out to be turns out to be supposedly a good guy, who's the bad guy all along, who's been, you know, the secret public enemy number one. So another very, very good episode. That was the episode, one of my favorites from season number one. Now, there was one that was similar to it that finished out the first season, that Phyllis Coates actually got knocked out during the filming of her scene, but the bad guys supposedly knocked her out. So they got very violent in the first season of Superman. And you'll notice that Superman gets very physical with the bad guys in season number one. You know, George Reeves uses some of his boxing skills. He slugs them all the time. Now, that got reduced down where just a couple of different methods that Superman would use, like clonking the crooks' heads together, knocking them out, or the crooks trying to run away would knock themselves out. So you didn't see so much physicality in these latter episodes when they tried to soften it up as the series ran out. But Phyllis Coates got hit and actually knocked out. The guy working the scene with her was just beside himself. And she said, no, it was okay. And she was a trooper. And those sort of things happen. And of course, the director, Tommy Carr, said, we don't have time to reshoot the scene. So I guess we're just going to have to use it. So those were some of my favorites. I did love some of the goofy ones at the one where Jimmy and Lois supposedly have superpowers was a fun one. But the one I think that stands above all of them, it's crazy, it's campy and all that, but you've got a crook who has a lead helmet. He wears this lead helmet so that, one, nobody can recognize him, but even Superman can't see him. There are so many flaws in this logic, it's not funny. But he sets up this trap where he is going to kill all of the people at the Daily Planet, all of Superman's friends, Clark Kent, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Perry White. And it's set up with this series of like the perils. It's like an homage to the Perils of Pauline. Craziness like that where he has Perry White tied up to this big log and a big buzzsaw, in a lumber mill or whatever. He's got Lois Lane tied up to a railroad tracks. Clark Kent gets dumped in a vat of acid, and the crooks at the end can't figure out how did he survive that. We watched him go in. But they said, I don't believe it. I'm just not going to believe it. And then Jimmy Olsen has the best one where they sabotage the steering of his car and the brakes. And he's on his old mountain road and he goes off the edge of a cliff. And of course, he's hanging from the edge of the cliff. Help me, help me. And Superman gets there just in time to save him. That was just so much fun. I mean, it was so ridiculous and so much fun. And it was one of the last episodes ever shot. And it was also another one shot by directed by George Reeves. So I have to agree with some folks that just from what I've read over the years, I don't know if I buy the suicide thing for George Reeves, but who knows? I don't know if we will ever know definitively, how George Reeves died. As far as if he took his own life or not. But I do believe he enjoyed his time with Superman. It did limit some of the stuff he could do. He was on his way to stardom. And it wasn't Superman that sidetracked it. It was the war. He was a member of the Army Air Corps. And, of course, he didn't see combat action, but he made training films. And so they used his acting experience. He was a graduate of the Pasadena Playhouse. You've probably heard us talk about that quite a bit. Launched a lot of actors over the years, and he had appeared in Gone with the Wind before he got into the Army. He was Stuart Tarleton. They dyed his hair red, so he's the guy in the very beginning, the very first scene in Gone with the Wind with one of the brothers who is wooing Scarlett O'Hara, and then of course he had. Starred in a war film himself, and he had been promised by a producer. He says, once you've done your military duty, once the war is over, when you come back, I'll fix you up. This guy was going to launch him. Unfortunately, the producer died during the war years, so when George Reeves came back, the studio said, "Dad, we don't know what you're talking about." And so he had to just start all over again, and it was a tough go for him. But he did a lot of good stuff. He loved doing things for charity. For hospitals, for kids especially. The scene that you see in the movie Hollywoodland about the little boy who came up to Superman, who was making an appearance with a gun, wanting to shoot him to see the bullets bounce off, that actually happened. Now, I don't know if it happened exactly like it's portrayed in the movie Hollywoodland, but yes, there was an incident where a young child stole a Luger that his father had. It was a loaded pistol, and asked Superman if he could, asked Reeves if he could shoot him, watch. And Reeves convinced him to give him the gun, and he said, "It wouldn't hurt me, but I'm afraid the bullets would bounce off and might hurt someone in the audience here." And the kid said, "Oh, okay," and he gives him the gun. One of the more frightening instances that George Reeves had. Of course, George quit smoking. He was very, very, and Noel Neal also confirmed this, that he was very, very concerned about the image that he set for kids. So he was really into that. He thought he was a role model and wanted to be a good role model for children, and used his celebrity status as Superman in order to do that. If you can get a hold of any of the books that are out there on George Reeves and on the adventures of Superman, it's well worth reading. Fascinating stories about a television show that just had a remarkable impact on me. There are many, many stories I could tell you about this show. I mentioned it, and as many of you know, I mentioned it a lot on this podcast about all of the people that appeared on The Adventures of Superman that also appeared in monster movies. The two seemed to go hand in hand. And, so this, sort of falls into the category of science fiction or the fantastical. And I thought, we've got to give George Reeves his due, because he will always be, in my mind, the definitive Superman. Although there are other actors who've played, like Chris Reeves and others who've played Superman, that I really love watching. But George was the first, and he will always be the first. And that will always be a very, very special actor in my lifetime. He had quite an impact. He and his cast of characters had quite an impact on me, and just brought me and still continue to bring me hours and hours of entertainment. Like I said, I just binged all 104 episodes not too long ago. Took about 4 months, but God, what fun that was. And it is fun. And if you just suspend some disbelief and just have fun with it, it's still one of the best comic book television shows ever produced. I'm going to add one last thing about it, because it just popped into my head when I said that. If you check an episode in the first season episodes, you will actually see Superman take off and fly. You won't see that in the other 5 seasons. And something that was in Hollywood land, they sort of represented why that happened. They did a lot of wire work, which was really, they did some incredible wire work in season one. The special effects were really very, very good for a TV show. It was just amazing. Even though they only budgeted for $15,000 a year, $15,000 an episode, which was nothing back then. But there was a couple of instances where they had some accidents with George Reeves, and one bad one where the wire completely broke and he fell about 10, 15 feet. That's shown in the movie Hollywoodland, and it was like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to kill Superman if we're not careful. And then they developed a platform that would mold to his body, and then the costume would go over the platform so it would mask it, and then they would blue screen it from there. You can tell the difference, but I was stunned. Well, I really paid attention to the first season this time I binged it. Just how many times he really did fly. And they showed him flying. It was amazing. The latter seasons, he basically was jumping off a springboard towards the camera and over the camera, so it looked like he was taking off in the air. And then, and again, George Reeves was very athletic, and then when he would come into a window or whatever, there'd be a bar on the outside that he would spin around like a gymnast and then come flying in the window that way. Or he would be jumping off a stepladder to make him look like his landing. So, the effects, not bad for 50s TV. You couldn't beat it. The Adventures of Superman will always get a big thumbs up from me. I hope you had a lot of fun with this episode, as I just went back and just reflected on one of my favorite all-time television shows growing up, The Adventures of Superman. Folks, we'll see you again next week for an all-new episode of Monster Attack. You have a great week, and we'll see you on Monday.
Describe this show. Like, what's really going to grab people's attention and make them tune in?
Nerdgasm for your eargasm?
What?
The spice must flow to be in the know.
Don't be a willow. Grab your pillow.
But that one doesn't even make sense.
All right, stop. Snag a seat and listen. The nerds are back with a brand new edition.
No.
Okay, then. The Blurred Nerds Podcast. Rants, raves, reviews, recaps, and other bits of random fandom.
Well, see, that's perfect. You should have just led with that one.
Resistance is futile. Listen to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, right? Meow.
Fine. Make it so.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.